ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba bum.
I got a bone to pick with Kleppen.
Wendy, you don't want to get on the bad side of Don Kleppen. Trust me. It's the last guy you want to cross.
He does a very good job. Whenever he does news, he will then say, and now, you know, here's more of Bill and Wendy, mm-hmm. or here's more of, I don't know what other shows he does, but he said...
Lutheran Hour. Sometimes he comes in and does the news between the Lutheran Hour.
Did that ever used to be an hour?
I think it was in the beginning, okay. Yes. But now, it's 30 minutes, but it's called the Lutheran Hour.
That's false advertising.
Join our class action suit. I'm suing the station over that. It's very disappointing.
What, will we each get 12 cents?
If that. It's the principal, though. You do it for the principal.
You're the radio watchdog,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yes, I am.
But he said, I'm Don Kleppen, and now we continue with the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand. Well, we share his newscast.
Some of the listeners are going to listen to us.
Yeah,
right.
So that's...
It's unacceptable.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him to stop that.
All right, good luck. Once that guy gets something in his head, you can't change it. I've tried.
All right, good to know.
You don't want him angry, Wendy. You don't want to... You don't want an angry Kleppen. That's the last thing you want.
You know, this time on Friday, we were at the McHenry County Fair doing our bonus hour, and we had a couple of guests cancel on us, because we do, when there's an audience there, we like to have a lot of stuff to go
sure,
to.
Sure, of course.
And through no fault of anyone, we had some rearranging and...
constant rearranging. I don't know how Jasmine did it.
Jasmine, you did a great job.
Wow, what
really,
a job.
It was like...
Well done.
The monkey's going here instead of the cow. I would have liked to try to milk the cow again because I really didn't get a fair shake at it.
You'll get another chance.
No, I really am done.
You're done with the milking of the cow?
It wasn't as fun or cool as I thought.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Maybe because it wasn't as successful as I hoped it would have been.
Right. But crossed it off your milk bucket list, though. your bucket list only contains things that do have a bucket involved.
Yeah.
Very strange. So you will never...
I don't care.
What if there's a celebrity cow milking contest?
You
wouldn't do it.
No, but I mean, like, if there was a cow there that was overly full and needed milking, I would
help.
You'd
come to the rescue.
Yeah, right. I would do that.
That's fair.
But so last time we were doing the bonus hour, we were in front of people and we had guests cancel. And we didn't have... Really, this is just kind of a very loose segment of our show.
Yes, it is.
And we kind of, whatever we talk about,
yes,
we talk about.
That's right.
And it was very different with eyes on us, I noticed.
How come?
Because we resorted to, are there any questions that anybody might have for us?
Well.
And they were good questions, and that was a good idea. I just feel like, you know, usually we're just all loosey-goosey and we can come up with stuff, but I felt pressured to come up with something in front of them and not a lot of commercials.
Like when we were figuring out what to do at the county fair, I thought it would be fun either on the regular show or the bonus hour to do that, to have people have, you know, because a lot of people kept saying, you know, I've listened to you guys for years. I finally get to meet you. So I thought, wow, this would be an interesting audience to open that up to. But then we had so much stuff booked that I just put it on the side. But then all of a sudden there was an opening. So that's why the questions.
Well, no, I thought it was a fantastic idea.
Solid question.
Absolutely.
Jasmine had the answer of the day. They said, what's it like? A woman said, what is it like working with Bill and Wendy? And Jasmine said, well, I don't have any kids, but I imagine, or it's good training, or it's just like this, you know, to work with two little kids all the time.
Trust me, your kids will probably listen to you more and better than we do.
By far.
Tip-top shape.
By far. Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, we started talking about this on 7:20 a.m., and I love Saturday Night Live, and it was really bugging me all weekend that I called Melissa Villaseñor Maria. I don't really know why I did.
Could you hear her crying? I could hear, it was faint, but you could hear her tearing up.
No, but it's one of those things where I misspoke and wasn't aware that I said it.
Mm.
And so I felt bad about it all weekend. I really did. It's just, I'm a name freak and I hate when I say the wrong name. That bugs me to no end. So I apologize for that. And then we cut her.
The first letter, right? You started out on the right track, but then it's the Aria part, I think, that
kind of
followed it up. Yeah.
I have Aria of the mouth.
Yeah. Yes.
But she was on with Steve Cochran earlier that morning.
Yeah.
And she had talked about Maria Bamford, and she's friends with her and does an impression of her. And that must have been in my head. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And she also said how she's wants to have a music career too.
Oh,
she's an. I mean, she actually sings. Yeah. So I came across.
Has anyone on the show ever been both a comedian and also done well as a singer? I don't think anyone ever has. Have they?
I don't know, but that's what I kind of wanted to ask her.
Piscopo sang. The great Joe Piscopo, Wendy.
Okay. Just say Joe Piscopo.
Do you know there's been a running joke on The Simpsons for years? Whenever they flash back to 25 years ago, 30 years, 35 years ago, they always use Joe Piscopo. They always go, "A young Joe Piscopo taught us to laugh." It's been going on for years. They always throw his name in whenever they're looking back.
What's the beef they have on Joe Piscopo?
I don't know. It's funny that they throw him in for no reason.
Well, I wanted to ask her if it's like kind of, do you have a better chance of being on the show? I bet the answer is yes, if you can also sing, because a lot of them have really good voices.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
So I was just wondering. But I have a bunch of things that you may not have known about SNL, and I am betting that you know pretty much all of these. We discussed a few on the real show on 720 AM, and I wanted to ask you some other ones.
All right. I'm open for that.
All right. There's a very funny comedian. You can't see my screen, can you?
Nope.
All right. Who auditioned twice and was rejected twice. He wanted to be part of SNL and wasn't. This is, he went on to be Hollywood's $20 million man. He was rejected twice by SNL. He was on another sketch comedy show.
I know who it is.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay.
It's Jim Carrey.
Yeah. All right. I'm just asking you.
Yeah. He came very close both times, and they didn't give it to him either time.
Well, there was a personnel change. He said the first time he was rejected was in 1980 when, citing burnout, Lorne Michaels asked to take a year off. He thought that the show would go on hiatus without him.
Right.
But that's not what happened. The network bumped associate producer Gene Domanian into Michael's position to keep the show going. Her first order of business, shake up the cast a bit. Carrie auditioned, but Domanian hired Charlie Rocket instead, which was a great choice.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
No.
I don't know if it tells you this in the story, but they liked him, Jim Carrey, they liked him so much, they gave him a show called The Duck Factory, which didn't last long at all, where he was a cartoonist.
Oh, really?
You remember that show?
No.
It didn't last long, but he got their attention. They just didn't give him Saturday Night Live.
Well, he did okay without it.
Yeah, he did more than okay without it.
I love his show, and I can't. He's a
kids show host.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but I meant to ask Alexander Zalbin if and when that's coming back. The Festrunk brothers.
Yeah,
two the Wild and Crazy guys. They were developed as two separate characters originally.
Oh.
The Festrunk brothers, also known as Two Wild and Crazy Guys, were based on separate characters that Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd had developed individually. When Steve Martin hosted SNL in the 70s, the two morphed their characters as a set of brothers.
Oh.
That's pretty interesting.
Do you remember their first names?
No, but I know you do.
Jorge was one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I can't remember what the other one was. Both Jorge? I think they were both Jorge. I think just one.
That's pretty good.
I can't remember the other one.
Gilbert Gottfried beat out who for a spot on the show?
Oh, I don't know that.
Pee-wee Herman, Paul Reubens.
Oh, really? I never heard that.
Paul Reubens has a theory as to why Gilbert Gottfried got the SNL spot the two of them auditioned for in 1980. He believes that Gottfried was favored for being friends with one of the producers. Reubens told the San Francisco Chronicle, "I was so bitter and angry, I thought, you better think about doing something to take this to the next level," which is how Pee-wee's Playhouse came to be.
Hmm.
So he borrowed some money, produced the show, and went from the Saturday Night Live reject to having 60 people working for me.
Gilbert was interesting on the show. It was such an awful year for the show.
It was terrible.
You know, they just didn't have anything working, and without Lorne Michaels there to guide the show, they were just kind of lost. You know, they were still doing, they wanted to be new, but it was the old construct of the show, but with new people, and it just didn't work at all.
It didn't work, and that might be the only time that I might have missed an episode here and there.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. There is someone who is popular right now in her own right, a female, but she turned down the chance to write for the show. Any idea who that might have been?
Can you give me any more on it? It could be anybody.
Timing wasn't on her side.
Amy Schumer?
No.
No?
She had auditioned for SNL just a few months earlier. They didn't offer me a part, but the audition went pretty well. And they said, do you want to come write for the show? But this was after The Office already debuted, and she's on The Office.
Oh, is it the girl who's Pam on The Office?
No, Mindy Kaling.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh.
So she wasn't going to leave The Office to write for that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Jeff Ross was considered as a replacement for Colin Quinn on Weekend Update. The Toastmaster General? Or Roastmaster? Which is it?
Roastmaster, right?
Okay, yeah.
I'm not sure he's right. He would have been right for Weekend Update. And I think he's hysterical, but I don't know if he's right for that.
Nora Dunn refused to share a stage with Andrew Dice Clay. You remember
that? Yeah, she boycotted the show that week.
I do remember that. Larry David abruptly quit as a writer and then pretended he hadn't.
Right. I knew that. I've heard that story before.
He wrote for SNL in the 80s, but was always struggling to get his sketches on the air. 5 minutes before the show went live one Saturday night, Larry David went up to then-producer Dick Ebersol and said, I've had it. I quit. Once he left, he realized how much money he had just cost himself, so he showed up to work on Monday as if the outburst never happened. He continued working there for the rest of the season, and that story was later used on a Seinfeld episode.
It's so funny because he's one of those people, and I've heard it about other people over the years on Saturday Night Live, where they just don't fit into it. They're hysterically funny people. You know what a great writer he is. Mm-hmm. They just weren't using his things, and every week he'd submit things. They just weren't using them. Chris Elliott falls into that as well. Chris Elliott is so funny. And if you watch his season, he was only on for one season. You can barely find him in anything. Yeah. They had no idea what to do with him. Janine Garofalo was the same.
Agreed.
She's very funny. Lost in the mix on the show. The good thing that came out of Larry David being on Saturday Night Live is he got to know Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and then he cast her, of course, in Seinfeld because of their friendship on the show. But it's so funny how there, over the years, there have been people who have been added to the show, and they just don't fit in.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. And finally, if I may, and this little segment was brought to you by American Weathermakers, What's Hot, What's Cold.
They're the 60-Minute Men, Wendy.
Yes, they are. There was a Beach Boys, I love this Access TV, I'm telling you right now. There's so many rock and roll shows, the Dan Rather Show. You need to check your local listing because Dan Rather is going to interview Carl and Rob Reiner this next one.
Oh, really?
He usually does musicians, but this time he's got the Reiners.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
So look for that. AXS TV.
It's on this week sometime?
They were promoting it. But there was this great documentary of the Beach Boys that my son Michael and I were watching last night. And I've heard about it. I may have seen it, but it just struck me as weird where for a large part of the show, Brian Wilson is laying in his bed, like just laying down.
It's rumored that that's how he spends a lot of his time now.
Well, no, this was before. He had a major breakdown. He wasn't touring. This was many years ago. Now he's out and about and doing stuff.
Oh, he is again?
Yes.
All right.
But this, I had heard about this. And he was literally just laying in his bed. There was one clip where he was sitting up, kind of leaning against the headboard. But for the most part, he had his head on a pillow and his blanket was all the way up. Mm. And he just basically said, I got burned out. I couldn't take these tourings anymore. Mm-hmm. So I've basically stayed in bed for 3 years. Mm. And it's weird because he talked about his breakdown and...
This is Brian Wilson, right?
Yes, yeah. And this is a documentary from a while ago, and I think about it, this might have been in the 80s, and no one was talking about their mental health at the time, but he was pretty free to talk about it. And then there was a bit that I guess was on, it had to have been on SNL, where Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi are dressed up as surf police, and they knock on Brian Wilson's door, and his wife lets him in, and they walk up to his bedroom, and they say, you know, we've got to get you out surfing. You're, you know, surfing USA, and they take Brian Wilson out of bed.
Is it the real Brian Wilson or somebody?
No, it's Brian Wilson.
It's the real Brian Wilson.
And it had to have been on SNL. Do you remember
this? I don't
this?
Remember ever seeing that.
I don't either.
Something that I would remember.
They took
too.
Them. I don't remember the funniest parts, but it's just really Belushi and Aykroyd as surf patrol, surf police, and we have to take you out surfing. We need to get you out of bed. So they get Brian up, and he's in a robe.
How did they get him to agree to do this? That seems like if you were him, you'd say, "Well, this can't be good for me. I'll end up looking horrible on this."
I think this was after he had healed
was back then.
And rejoined the Beach Boys again. And how great of Brian Wilson to play along. And so they show him, and it was very Blues Brothers-esque because they're dressed as cops. It looked like a cop car. They have this big surfboard on the top of it. They drive Brian Wilson.
Surf police? That's what they call themselves, surf police?
They drive Brian Wilson to the beach, and he's like, "Guys, I've never surfed before. My brother was the surfer. Dennis was. I don't know how to surf." And they just have him in the water. You know, Aykroyd's like, you know, telling people to stop and go. And then he's like, "Okay, you may proceed. Go surf now." It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. It had to have been on SNL.
Yeah, I don't know where else they would have shown that.
Don't remember that.
Isn't it crazy? You know, the Beach Boys were built on the belief that they were just at the beach surfing all day, every day. That's what they did. And, of course, then they created their music. But the mere fact that he never surfed is so disturbing because I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
The Beach Boys, those guys surf all day. That's all they do is surf and sing.
And he during this documentary, it was really sad because Dennis Wilson was the only one who surfed, and he ended up drowning, and he died.
Hmm.
In like 83, my dates could be a little off. And then Carl Wilson, Brian's other brother, died in like 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was two brothers and a cousin? Is that what it was?
No, three brothers. Dennis, and Brian.
No.
And Mike Love was their cousin.
Oh, that was the cousin. I knew there was a cousin involved.
And then Dennis Wilson married Mike Love's illegitimate child.
Oh.
So it was sort of his cousin, but there was no bloodline.
Oh.
And it says that Dennis did that because he hated Mike Love so much. It's like a weird, it was a really weird thing.
He married her to...
But they were dating. She was 19 and he was 39, and this was right kind of before he died.
Wow.
It's just,
I told you when I opened for them, there's all these young girls in the dressing room, and I said to one of them at some point, "Your dad means the world to me. His music is incredible. I still remember the first time I heard the Beach Boys. Please tell your dad." And she goes, "My dad?" It was all their wives. Their wives were 35.
Oh, my God.
Every one of those young women that I thought were their daughters, those were all their wives.
Way to go, Bill.
Yeah.
All right. This is why we didn't see the Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi with
they didn't show it,
Brian
right?
Wilson. No. It's from an NBC television special, It's Okay. It was produced by Saturday Night Live creator Lorne Michaels during the break between SNL's first and second seasons. It was directed by the show's resident filmmaker,
Tom Schiller?
Gary Weiss.
Oh, Gary Weiss.
The one-hour special was organized to celebrate the Beach Boys' 15th anniversary and to promote their album, 15 Big Ones. Wilson had just rejoined the group, and that's what this documentary was saying, that he stayed in bed for 3 years and just said, I broke down. I didn't want to do it anymore. And that's when he started writing his Pet Sounds album.
Yeah.
And he wrote it. Rest of the Beach Boys came back from their tour and recorded it with him.
Yeah.
And they toured again a little while longer. And it's just Brian was definitely missed. And somehow Brian went back and rejoined them.
Oh.
But you've got to see it. It's on. It's all over the place on YouTube. John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd take Brian Wilson surfing. And they get him out of his bed in his robe. And it is so funny.
All right. I'll find it. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, then Jen will stop by. She'll get you the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I certainly enjoy hearing the combination of people filling in for John Williams, but I have to say I kind of miss listening to him.
Oh, yeah. You want original recipe John Williams.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. Jen DeSalvo's here. She'll give you the news, and then we'll talk about stuff. That's how it works. Jen, I have a question for you, and I won't tell you who set me up with this question until I find out that it's true.
Okay.
Are you from Coal City, Illinois?
I'm from close to Coal City. Well, I'm from Chicago, but I lived in Braidwood for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So technically that does not count.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, circle does not get the
square. I just drove by both of those places on the way to my beach club
weekend.
Yesterday, yes. I don't, it shall remain nameless.
Everybody's a beach club member out there except for my parents.
They will not join. Because why?
I don't know.
They hate chlorine. Your mom hates chlorine.
There's no chlorine at the beach clubs, though.
No chlorine. It's a lake.
Yeah, it's the old coal mines.
Oh.
It's turned into lake
strip
mines, yes.
Oh.
That's when we belonged to this club since before I was born, so over 50 years.
Yeah.
And I used to call those hills on the way to Braidwood, Coal City, and beyond meat hills because they would dig out.
That sounds so pretty.
But I'll explain why. They would dig out the caverns to fill up and make lakes. And as they got down to the bottom to dig it out, they would pile and pile. And there's a lot of clay in the soil there.
Yeah.
So at the very top of a gray hill was kind of a reddish color. So it looked like rare roast beef.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It really did. So we called them the meat hills. And I don't see the meat hills anymore because forestation has grown all over it now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just remembering when I was a little kid, because they were kind of new.
Yeah.
They were Braidwood. There's a place there that they dug out, and they just make these swimming holes, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't that happen in Breaking Away?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you've never seen Breaking Away?
It's a great movie, but I don't remember that.
Didn't they swim in some... There's a scene where the guys all go swimming in what looks exactly like, well, kind of, sort of, yeah. Not exactly, but
kind of. Looks like rare roast beef. You got your gray and your red.
Yeah, it's right there.
Even my parents' backyard, like last week, I was walking around in some navy shoes, and I walked inside, and they were red from all the sand.
Oh.
Yep. So clay soil.
Oh. Yeah, they have cacti in their backyard.
My wife grew up in Coal City.
Oh, really?
I'm not bragging. But she
yes,
always,
you are.
She always, like when we started dating, she would tell me about this candy that they made there called G-Shaft. The Coal City is called that because there were legitimate coal mines for years and years. It may still be. I'm not sure.
They're the coalers.
But they, yeah, that's the name of the school team.
What does the G stand for?
The G is just, they would, each of the shafts, I'm talking about shaft, Wendy.
Shut your mouth.
I'm talking about shaft. It would start out A shaft, B shaft as you went down, and then apparently G shaft instead of coal, they had delicious sugary confections coming
candy?
Out. Yeah, they made candy out of the mines.
Really?
So they would make this candy. They would make this candy that the locals love. And if you don't live there and you eat it, you will not love it. I'm being very polite.
I have no idea what this is.
Ugh.
Dan's Homemade Candies, it appears, which is in Joliet on Plainfield Road, still may have G-Shaft candy.
You don't
candy.
Want it. Save yourself.
It's hard candy.
It's hard to like.
G-Shaft candy originated in Braidwood, Illinois.
Oh,
wow.
In the late 1800s. Harriet and William Williamson. Willie Williamson. Came to Braidwood in 1872, where William worked as a hoisting engineer at the Chicago and Wilmington Coal Company's I shaft.
Yeah.
Tragedy struck in September of 1881 when William Williamson died from injuries sustained when the engine house roof collapsed. Harriet, now widowed with no income and several children to support, turned to an old family recipe to make a living. When she had left England to immigrate to the United States, her father gave her the recipe for a hard brown candy, Bullseye, reportedly telling her that she may need it someday to support herself.
Well, but a bullseye is a legitimate candy that's really tasty and delicious.
Yeah. Are these
it's similar in shape.
Caramels?
Well, I think like the goats. Who makes the bullseye?
Getz.
Oh, okay.
Getz, G-O-E-T-Z.
No wonder I called it goats.
I know nothing about this.
Those are those little caramels with the cream inside. Those
you could push out the center.
Well, like, don't do that. That could be detrimental to your health.
It almost killed me.
Bill choked on the...
I almost choked to death on one.
Oh, man.
On the nugget.
But even choking to death on a Getz caramel was a better experience than eating the G-Shaft candy that I did not almost die from eating.
All right. Well, evidently, this was called... It was a hard brown candy called a bullseye back then in the 1800s. I don't know when the other bullseyes happened.
Oh, okay.
After her husband's death, Harriet and her children began making and distributing the candy to merchants in the Braidwood area. She named it G-Shaft after the mine she could see from her kitchen window.
Mm.
In 1893, it became a registered trademark. The hard candy has with a distinctive taste and poignant background.
Taste
sold well and
cross
became a holiday tradition throughout the coal
field. Cross out the word
fields.
Taste.
What does it taste like?
I don't know. It's
gunk.
All right. Now, what does your wife say? Does she like them?
She loves it.
Okay.
I'm telling you, if you grew up there, it's the weirdest thing in the world. The people who live there love it. And then anytime you eat it, if you don't, you go, you get sick. You go, what are you eating?
But I've lived there for like 8 years and I've never heard of this.
You never had? Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And my best girlfriends are from Coal City.
I guarantee you, if you ask them, they'll know.
I'm going to.
I don't have a description of it. It did say...
I taste molasses in there, which is weird because I don't think there are molasses in them. But I like the first time I ate it, because I was physically ill, and my mother-in-law at the time said, "What do you taste?" And I go, "Death, sweet death is all I taste." She goes, "Do you taste molasses?" I go, "I do. That's the only flavor." She goes, "Yeah, because there's no molasses in it, but it tastes like molasses."
Are these like kind of striped? Because the G-shaft I'm looking at
But wait, to back it up, they didn't come from the mines.
No, it just came from her kitchen. Okay. Right. She called it that because the view that she saw was of that shaft.
Yeah. I'm still sticking with your first statement when you're like, oh, yeah, they had candy that came from the mines.
Wouldn't that be something?
Don't ever believe him. Can I just tell
you that
Wouldn't
that be a miracle? I would be a candy miner today.
It's a hard candy, and it looks like... kind of there are stripes on it. It's like,
I don't remember stripes. There was a swirly look to it.
Yeah, well, that could be stripes, couldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a hard candy. You kind of pick up a peppermint flavor when you first put it in your mouth, but then it changes.
Yeah.
Dan's Homemade Candies in Joliet still
They're
has
still
it.
Making them?
It's available only at Dan's. It's brown in color. I detected notes of butterscotch, maybe caramel.
No.
I like both of those.
No, I love
but
both
now,
of those.
They there did a poll on Facebook. And sassafras,
yes.
Anise, licorice,
yes.
Among the flavor notes.
I agree on all of those.
Okay, if there's anybody from the Coal City Braidwood area
well, let's
listening
get Dan's
to this.
Candy and Joliet, see if they'll talk about it.
I can't say mean things right in front of them, though.
Well,
I'll have to wait until they hang
you're
up.
Not from there. You're not expected to like it.
Yeah. But can you think of another food where only the locals enjoy it? Where anytime anybody who's
plantains,
not a local...
Plantains. Poi.
Oh, no, I love plantains.
I don't really. Poi is not good at all.
No.
Only the locals.
Okay.
No, I'll
and
give
the
you
locals
that
like it.
I guess
get the
so.
Poi shop on, too.
I mean, I heard from somebody that works at the station that's not from here that yeah. Portillo's isn't a big deal, and everybody in the newsroom from
what?
Chicago was like, oh, my God.
What? Somebody said that out loud?
Yeah.
Heretic. I try, you know how there's something you try once and you go, nah, that's not good. And then you go, I'm not going to change my opinion. I've tried it three different times, hated it each of the three times. I can't understand how anyone could eat it and enjoy it. I can understand how someone would eat it if they were forced.
For this.
Oh, it's so bad. And people get so angry. If you tell a local that, they'll go, what's wrong with you? You could live on this. This is the best.
I think I remember these. Because I grew up in Brookfield, which isn't too far from
someone
there.
Someone might have smuggled them into Brookfield.
I mean, they're hard candy, so they're probably in aunts and grandma's candy dishes
yeah.
at some point.
That's exactly where they should stay there. You should never eat them. They should just stay in the candy dish for decoration.
It's weird because when I think of all the colors and flavors that they say, they did a Facebook post and this is what people said.
Yeah.
There were anise candies in the red wrappers that my grandma had.
You didn't like those, did you?
No, but I ate them because I was excited to get
candy.
Candy
on it. Yeah, that's why.
Kind of made myself like them. There were root beer barrels, which I didn't really like either.
You don't like those? I do like
those. There were butterscotch. But it sounds like the G-Shaft took all of them together. No, not the Werther's. That's like a hard caramel.
Yeah.
This was like just yellow cellophane wrapper, and it was butterscotch.
My grandmother would always give us, and she refrigerated them, which is odd, those candies that look like slices of fruit.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not really slices of fruit. They're really, really,
gelatinous
really
sugar
sugary.
Fruit?
Yeah. Why would she I have no idea why she was refrigerated.
Did she know they weren't real
fruit?
Fruit,
I guess. No, I don't think
she
knew that.
As my grandmother got older, her candy dish got better.
Did
she? Had
really?
York peppermint patties and Reese's peanut butter cups and Kit Kats. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those are solid options.
Yeah. It's like the houses you want to go trick-or-treating at.
Right. Those are all very solid options.
They give chocolate.
Well, I don't know. We'll find out about the G-Shaft candy.
Right, I might be going out there at some point this week.
All right. I'll give
we'll
you
see.
Money. Get a box.
I just got to find where
bring
they
them back. Dan's Candies right now is the only one because everybody else who was sensible said, we've got to stop selling these. But there was a time where you could get them from anybody who lived in Coal City would just have them in their pocket. How many do you need? They just reach inside their pocket. Here's six. Take them. They're yours.
Can we check Amazon? Do they send to Amazon?
All right. Can we talk to somebody here?
Yeah.
Oh.
We go live to Joliet, I believe, and Kim. Hi, Kim. You work at Dan's Candies?
Correct.
We were talking about something called the G-Shaft. It's a candy. It's a hard candy. And we have... Bill's embarrassed. This is Wendy Snyder and Bill Leff, and Jen DeSalvo is with us. Bill doesn't really like them that much, but his wife is from the area, and the locals love them. Can you describe them to us?
They're minty candy, like a brown sugar and mint flavor. Some people say it almost tastes like a root beer with mint, and it's one of those candies kind of like you either like it or you don't like it.
Yes.
We sell a lot of it, so obviously a lot of people like it.
So you sell a lot of it to more than just one guy?
We only sell it in store. We only have it at the stores now.
Oh.
Yeah, but we do make it right here at the store in the back. We have all the equipment to make the hard candy.
Mm-hmm.
So we do make it right in-house, and we do carry it all year round now.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah, it used to be seasonal a long time ago. They used to have it at little corner stores and pharmacies and such.
And you could give it to your kid if he or she was bad, right?
No, some people like
it. They might like it.
Oh, maybe. All right.
That might not be a punishment.
All right.
There was a Facebook post that somebody started a group chat to figure out what it tasted like, and maybe there was a hint of anise in there.
No, there isn't. But we do have another candy that is anise. It's a red hard candy that we make, and it is anise, and it has like a licorice flavor. So we do have the anise candy, and we do have the G-Shaft both.
All right. I had never heard of the G-Shaft candy yet. I think I've had it. We belong to a beach club kind of out that way. And if anybody wants to stop in and get G-Shaft candy, I think you should just try it. Where's the best place to find you, Kim?
We are in Joliet on Plainfield Road on the west side of Joliet, kind of over by Joe's Hot Dogs, right in that vicinity. Mm. Just about everybody knows Joe's Hot Dogs.
Yeah.
And then we also have a location in Mokena on Lincoln Highway. That one is still a little west of Schoolhouse Road, but before Wolf.
Oh, okay.
One in Mokena. Our downtown location will be opening again when the apples come at the end of the month. We do close the downtown store, the original location, which has been there since 1919, 100 years
now. Wow, that's impressive. But you guys are only open when the apples come in? That's how it goes?
Yeah, that store we open seasonally.
Like candy?
Just during holidays and for the apples. So it is closed right now during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the, starting September, we will be opening it again the beginning of September because we do run our caramel apples through the whole month of September and October.
Mm.
Do you have candied apples also or just the caramel apples?
Just the caramel, but we have the caramel with just caramel. We have it caramel with peanuts. We also have the caramel with the, we dip it in the caramel and then roll it in chocolate.
Mm.
That's really good.
All right,
and
I'm going to Dan's Candies.
That we have, we dip it in the caramel, then we roll it in chocolate and pecans.
Oh, wow.
All right, and tell us about dandies. Do you have dandies
what
at your
dandies?
Place?
Yeah, dandies are basically turtles, but we can't call it turtles because somebody has the copyright on the name turtle.
Yeah.
So that's just our homemade caramel with pecans and chocolate.
I think we need a road trip to Dan's Candies.
That's
sounds
my
good.
Favorite candy
sure,
in the world.
We'd love to have you.
All right. Well,
thank you so much, Kim, for talking to us. We just had to get to the bottom of what a G-Shaft candy was. And what does it look like exactly? Is it kind of...
It is a light brown. Well, it's kind of a medium brown with like gold stripes in it.
Yeah.
Is that what you remember?
Yeah,
Bill?
Pretty much.
Yeah, and it's just like a little round. It come when we make it, it's in big sticks, and we just cut the sticks down to little bite-sized pieces.
But Kim, do you remember any other candy that you have that's as polarizing as the G-Shaft, where people either love it or hate it, and there's no one in the middle? I can't think of another candy like that.
Maybe the maple cream.
Oh, Yeah, you're right.
I like maple cream.
Yeah.
Out of all the candies we hear, the maple cream is just, I just can't get into the maple cream. But everything else I love.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for talking to us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. I hope to see you soon.
All right. Thanks,
we'll
Kim.
We'll be there. Thank you so much. That's Kim from Dan's Candies talking about the G-Shift. See, she understood.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is our hometown phone tour.
Yeah.
Early on when Terry and I were dating, we weren't even married yet, we started talking about this candy. It was Christmas time. So everybody in the family loved those candies. Somebody gave somebody a bag of the candies and they're passing them around and they're eating them and they're just have nothing but joy on their faces. Everyone in the family, and then everyone who married into the family or was about to, we all took a bite and we're like, oh my God, what are you eating like that? Isn't that crazy that everyone local would love it and everyone who's not local would just go, oh.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with living in Hawaii. I have a friend who lives in Hawaii. You've been to Hawaii. It's beautiful. I'm not knocking people in Hawaii, but A, they like poi, which is terrible. Also, Spam.
Is poi a fish? What's poi?
No, it's just porridgey. It's porridgey paste with no flavor.
Lou Manfredini uses it. If you've got like a hole in your wall or something, you just put poi in there
I've
and fill it
that.
All up.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't even know what it's made out of. Do you?
No. Like I just know it's
lint.
It's
it's poi is primarily the traditional staple food and native cuisine of Hawaii. It's made from underground plant stem.
Yeah.
Or taro root.
Yeah, taro root. But can you think of a more appropriately named food than poi?
Poi. It is perfect. But now Spam, they like in Hawaii as well, and
yes.
I don't like Spam.
Don't you think, though, like with a lot of things, when you grow up and it's the thing, you just go, well, it must be good. We've been eating it my whole life.
Yep.
You know, it can't possibly be bad. My parents wouldn't do that to me.
Like, we're Sicilian Italian, so everything's sweet sauce. And when my husband started tasting...
I hate sweet sauce.
Exactly.
I'm Northern Italian, and I like it tart, and... Oh.
And he's like, what is this? Why is there sugar in something like this? It should not be in here.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny. All right, a quick reminder, tomorrow's bonus hour will go on as scheduled, but I am not a part of it.
It's, I forgot.
Yeah, I will not be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because Lisa Welchel, TV's Facts of Life's
dropper.
Blair, will be coming to my house to shoot a TV show.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah.
I really wish you had little Mickey Mouse ears to wear, because she was wasn't she on the new Mickey Mouse Club?
Was she on that? I don't know
Maybe
if she
not.
Was on... No?
Why do I picture her with... Did she ever wear
some?
Ears?
Because I have a
have
slew
some?
Of them. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you would.
Yep.
I thought she was on the new Mickey Mouse
was
Club
she?
For a while.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Britney
Are
Spears.
Are you setting me up to look bad to just dress
no,
like a musketeer when
no,
she comes
no.
over? And she'll go, what's wrong with you?
I would never do that. Yeah,
she was
known for her appearances as a musketeer on the new Mickey Mouse Club.
I didn't
wow.
know that. I had no idea.
I can't believe... I
the
knew
person
more about
who does
Lisa.
Not like Disney.
I know.
Knew more about Disney than
when
we did.
When you had that ready.
I love wow. Lisa Welchel, though.
Yeah.
Welchel? I don't know how to say
Welchel.
It.
Welchel.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Like the grape juice, but not. They're Welches, but it's like that.
Welchel.
Yeah.
I would think it's Welchel. Now I'm trying to screw you up.
I know.
All right. Well, Bill is going to be on a TV show, and you'll tell us when we can watch
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, it's going to air in a couple months.
All right. I'm excited about that. Mary Vandeveld will be sitting in with me tomorrow.
Good call.
For the real show on 7:20 a.m. And also, Mary knows she has to stay for the bonus hour, doesn't she, Janice? Jasmine.
I know who I am.
It's like something happens to me. Maria Villasenor.
Right.
Janice Cooper.
But the beauty thing is you get the first letter right, you lull them into a false sense of security, and then you just...
I know. I don't know what it is.
I know who I am.
Oh, Bob. I mean, Bill, I'm so sorry.
All right. We'll take a break.
Janice.
Yeah, I know. All right. More after this. Thanks, Jen, for hanging out. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I think my attention span is finished.
Well, you owe Janice an apology, obviously.
Jasmine, I have never called you Janice in my life.
With you around.
I'm no.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be. No. It's stupid.
Right.
I don't know what's happened
Most
to me.
Most of the letters are the same, just
Pretty
in a different
close.
Order. So you were very, very close. All right. Tomorrow.
I got to go home. Mary Vandeveld's in trouble with me tomorrow.
Yes.
You better do all the work.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, so tomorrow another fine episode with Mary Vandeveld sitting in for me. Enjoy yourselves. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill?
Yeah, it's Bill.